Welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have a very, very, very special guest, Enes Kanter from the NBA, currently playing for the Boston Celtics. However, he did play for the New York Knicks from 2017 to 2019. Did you guys know that after his NBA career, he wants to get into the WWE and then get into politics? Did you guys also know that he learned how to speak English through watching SpongeBob SquarePants and Jersey Shore? Did you guys know that he's become a TikTok star through quarantine? Well, I'll let him talk about these things. Without further ado, Enes Kanter. Okay, so Enes Kanter, thank you for joining me on my podcast. So good to see you.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I've been actually following your podcast, and it's amazing. So I'm honored to be a part of it.
Oh, you're just saying that. Thank you. So how has quarantine been for you? Where are you at? Tell me.
So in the first couple of weeks, we were in Boston, obviously, just because of one of our team members, teammate got tested positive. So we had to stay in a house by ourselves for 2 weeks. But then, just because of, we cannot really go to any public gym or a practice facility here in Chicago, just because of my manager has like a huge basketball court in his house. So I can practice, I can work out and, have some space. Because we still don't know if the league is going to continue or not. So if it's continue, you want to be ready to go. You want to be in game shape. Not in game shape, but you want to be close to game shape. So that's why right now I'm in Chicago. Actually, the weather is amazing right now. But I've been trying to stay active and trying to stay productive as much as I can.
So I heard that you guys are having virtual workouts with the Boston Celtics. How has that been?
It's actually been amazing because, the one thing, you miss your teammate, right? Because, you are with them, every day. And now just because of, this pandemic happened, you cannot really get to see him. But so the Celtics are in a virtual workouts 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They actually calling us on FaceTime at 5-6 players on the line. So, and then strength coach just literally watching us and telling us what to do. But just one thing so amazing me is one of the players, I don't want to give a name because it'll be everywhere. One of the players are some people are lucky because they have these huge houses and workouts and space and stuff, but some people live in apartments, some players.
Yeah.
So I saw this player just having this, doing literally squats and curls with a full of clothes suitcase. I'm like, God, this is dedication. This is that's going to get us a championship. I'm like, that's a championship mentality. But it was just so amazing to see how dedicated my teammates are, how active they're trying to stay. So it's definitely nice to see them that way.
Is that what it takes to become the third-ranked team in the Eastern Conference?
We are 30, you're right. But actually, we're about to get the seconds. And then this happened. Toronto is just above us, I think a 2 game or 3 games, I think. But I think, if you look at our team, man, it's just they're just working hard. They try to stay focused and they try to stay positive.
Yeah, so I always would say, I want to take you on the tennis court. You got to take me on the basketball court. I don't know if I could hang with you, though. I'm only 5'5", and you're, 6'11"?
6'11",
So I'm quick, just so you know. I am quick. Yeah. I don't know, between me being, low to the ground for you and then me being quick, I don't know if you can catch up with me. I might be too quick.
It's funny because I did watch a lot of your highlights before we talked, and you were actually super quick. I'm like, wow, she can move. But
I've watched some of your highlights too, just the highlights, not the actual games.
Okay, I appreciate it. It's just amazing to see, I always say that tennis looks very easy. Mm-hmm. It's an easy sport, right? You go right, hit the ball. You go left, hit the ball. I actually tried a game. I'm like, oh, but this is harder than basketball. Because, because one of my favorite was, Federer and Nadal. When that two played against each other, I'm like, oh, my God. The whole world stops. Okay, just focus on that game. But and just like see how hard is on your body, like your knees, your elbow, your shoulder, your back. It's like you gotta use all your body to just, and then it's like a 1 second decision, you know. It's like basketball. You gotta make a decision quick. But tennis was definitely one of my favorite sports, so I'm glad I'm talking to a tennis player.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, have you ever been interviewed by a professional tennis player?
You're the first.
I'm the first. That's awesome.
You're the first, yeah.
So the thing that makes tennis so hard is because not only do you have to run to the ball, you have to hit it at the same time. So you have to time everything so perfectly. And so it takes a lot of coordination, athleticism. Obviously, basketball is very hard too. But I feel like with tennis, there's just so many moving parts. So many things can go wrong. Plus, we play outside. So if it's windy or there's sun, so many things have to line up so perfectly to go well. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I actually met this tennis player. He actually played I'm trying to remember. I think he was from Japan. He's like the best Japanese player. He's a male. He was the best Japanese player in Japan, I guess, for like years and years. I forgot his name. I actually took a picture with him too. I forgot
his name. Kei Nishikori?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And he played in New York in a couple of years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's amazing to see how good of an athlete he is, how he takes care of his body, how much he dedicates mm-hmm. his whole life. It's like a tennis is like, it's like a lifestyle, you know? It's
absolutely.
It's not like, okay, you go there and practice 2 hours and be done with it. No, it's like when you look at him or when you look at some of the tennis players, like how you take care of your body, like you sleep well, you eat well, you try to like do everything to stay in shape, you make sure you get your nap. Because like once you step on that tennis court, you're like, you need to focus on what you need to focus on. You cannot bring any of your distractions on that court because like I said, it's like a 1 second decision. So like it's what you're doing is so unbelievable. So I'm very amazed.
Well, why thank you. Coming from you means the world, obviously.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything new about yourself, would you say, during quarantine or some new hobbies you've picked up?
Right. Actually, you know, we always like complain about how busy our schedule is, right? Mm-hmm. Basketball games or tennis matches, whatever. And schools, homework, study. But I think this is like the best time to just invest in yourself and educate yourself. So like, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, you know, young kids out there going to be mad maybe, but like, don't just get on your Xbox or computer or PlayStation and play video games only. Do something good, because like, what I'm trying to do is, because we have so much time, I'm really trying to focus on reading, because I feel like this is like the best way to invest in yourself. And like, instead of just watching a movie and get nothing out of it, mm-hmm. I'm really focusing on, you know, documentary. And actually, you know, I remember I told you that before, but my mom used to always tell me, you know, son, when I was a kid, learn how to cook, because I'm not going to be there for you the rest of your life. But now, like, it's still even risky to order food from outside.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really trying to be focused on my Turkish cuisine. Actually.
Yes, but, I saw last night on, I think it was Instagram, you were making Turkish meatballs.
There you go.
They look delicious.
It tasted amazing. But the other thing is piano. I love piano, and I'm actually trying to learn how to play piano, but I'm really not good at it because of my fingers are so good. I'm pushing the
You're pushing two keys with one finger. Is that how it is?
Exactly. You got it. So, like, I'm actually trying to stay productive and active as much as I can because, like, it's the best time. You got no excuses this time.
That's so interesting you say that because I was watching some, you know, there's so many influencers on Instagram, people trying to teach you things. I heard someone saying it's okay if you don't want to do anything during quarantine. You know, it's a tough time and mm-hmm. you just need to feel sane and get in touch with your emotions. You don't need to pick up a new hobby. You don't have to clean your whole house. But I feel like for me, I think because I'm a perfectionist, I feel like I needed to like pick up a new hobby or like keep working. So for me, it's with like the media and asking you to do this conversation with me. So
that's perfect. Mm. I think I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite Turkish dishes, by the way? I had to ask you. You like shawarma, right?
Am I what?
You like shawarma?
I do actually love shawarma, yeah. There's actually, so whenever I played for, I mean, you're a Knicks fan, so when I played for the Knicks, that was like one of the best things that I Hey, because like some of the cities I played in the NBA, you know, like it's like small city. There's not many, you know, good restaurants out there. But when you play for New York, it's like the New York City. Like you got different cuisines from different restaurants, different, you know, tastes. It's like every day I was going to a different restaurant and trying to like find something, you know, some different taste. But one of my favorite Turkish dish called Iskender kebab. So it's like a meat. I'm fasting right now. I came upstairs.
Oh,
But
I'm
like it's like
sorry. That's
meat.
right.
That is fine. There's meat, tomato sauce in it. There's yogurt. There's like some bread in it and stuff. So it's you know what? You're from New York, so when I come to New York, I'll take you there. There's like a wonderful restaurant called ABBA Restaurant. ABA. It's actually
AB.
one of my favorite Turkish restaurants.
I
So
went last year because when you told me about it, I was like, I gotta go and try it.
there
It
you go.
was
Exactly.
amazing, Ennis.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. We're definitely gonna go. For sure.
Perfect.
Have you had the dessert knefe?
I did actually. You
Oh
know, when I tell my listen, when I tell my teammates or friends, there's this dessert called and there's cheese in it. They're like, hold on, there's a dessert and there's cheese in a dessert. I've never tasted it. But once they taste it, they're like, okay, this is my favorite dessert from now.
I know what you mean. Whenever I say, oh, I have this most delicious dessert, you guys are gonna try it, they say, what's inside? And when I say cheese, they're like, no, thank you. I want
Yeah,
chocolate. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like,
exactly.
this is life
Yeah,
changing.
exactly. And, you know, I'm just because we're from Lebanon, I mean, we are actually, you know, the cuisines are very similar. So whenever I've been to a lot of Lebanon restaurants, actually they're one of my favorite next to Turkish cuisines. But like, it's so amazing. It's very tasty, you know. But the one thing about the Lebanon food, you cannot eat before the game. It's so tasty at the same time, so heavy. So it just makes you feel like so tired and sleepy.
Oh,
But
tell me
like,
about it. Two of my
yeah.
favorite things, eating and sleeping.
There you go.
But no. So when you came to the Knicks, obviously I was super excited. Now that you're with the Celtics, I don't know. I'm still trying to heal a little bit, but I'm still
Yeah.
obviously a huge fan. I want to hear more about your time with the Knicks. What would you say was your favorite part of being on the team and then being in New York? I know you mentioned all the different
Yeah.
cuisines.
I think just being in New York obviously is one of the biggest my market out there, one of the biggest market in NBA. But I think just playing at MSG, one of the most famous arena in the world. And like I remember it's gonna be funny, and then if the Knicks coaches hears that, they're gonna be mad. But like I remember when the game was going on, I was literally just stopped watching the game and looking at the celebrity row, see who came. Like Ben Stiller or Jimmy Fallon, the Rock, or like I don't know, like one day Shakira came, or like yeah, it's like it was crazy. But it was just so amazing to just be a part of that atmosphere, you know. But like obviously, you look at some of the teams in the NBA when once you start losing, the fans have started to not show up for the games. But like Knicks, always packed. Always people, always fans comes there cheering and clapping for their team. So like, it was definitely a blessing to just have my 1.5 year there. So I'll never forget that experience.
So would you say the New York, the Knicks fans are the most diehard?
I don't want to say they're the most diehard now. Play for the Celtics now.
Oh, that's a good point. Sorry.
They're definitely actually one of the top out there because like I had an amazing time there with the fans, and it was definitely a blessing.
Yeah, but I feel like obviously there's so many advantages to living in New York, but you know, as I'm a professional tennis player, I do a lot of traveling. A lot of my travel though is longer than, you know, maybe like a week. It's more like 2 weeks or 3 weeks maximum. I can't do more than 3 weeks. But for me, because I'm from New York, I find it hard to leave. So if I'm on the road for like 2 weeks, you know, I get really homesick. I'm like, oh, but New York is so fun. And I'd be like in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. I know you went to school a little bit in Kentucky,
Yeah,
but
I knew it was
not the most amazing activities to do
Actually,
there.
actually.
But yeah, so that's what I find the most difficult. But you know, there's like nice, like, have you been to any like those rooftop bars? They're so nice, like the beautiful views, good food. And then you have like obviously nightlife is fun, great restaurants. I don't know, it just there's so much. Did you ever feel like it was a distraction?
So it's like, it's my 19th in the league, right? I mean, if it was maybe my first couple of year, I'll be like, okay, this is a huge distraction because like, you don't know. You don't know how to take care of yourself, how to take care of your body, how to take care of that NBA lifestyle. But now it's my 9th year in the league. It was not a distraction. You just need to know that, okay, your job comes first, basketball comes first. So just don't worry about anything else, just for basketball. And then you want to have fun, just do after.
So you knew how to balance it because you were mature enough. Oh, that's good. I don't know how comfortable you are talking about this, but I also find dating in New York to be very difficult.
Dating in New York.
Dating in New York. I feel like we don't have to go into it too much, but I just feel like there's just a lot going on. It's really the city is a hustle. That's where my podcast Jewels on the Hustle comes from. And I don't know. There's just so much going on. But okay. Who would you say is the toughest team to play against in the NBA?
I think, before, so I'm not, if I don't count this year because we didn't finish this season yet, but before that, it was definitely Golden State. I think what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and I put Kevin Durant in there too, what they did for NBA, they definitely changed the basketball. Because before it was like, before their era, it was all about, back to basket. It was just, it was pick and rolls and stuff. But now just because of how they shoot, how they be able to just go out there and shoot threes, now all the kids out there want to shoot threes and, just want to be like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So like, I think what they did was definitely change the basketball. But when I was playing with Oklahoma City Thunder, we were up by 3-1 in Western Conference Finals and they came and beat us. And last year when I was with Portland, they beat us 4-0 in the playoffs in it. When I was with Portland. So, like, I think Golden State is definitely the toughest one.
Toughest one. Did you ever want to play for the Golden State Warriors?
No, not really.
No. Because of California or the team?
Because, like, they were the rivalry always, right? When I was with OKC, when I was with Portland, they were always, like, the rivalry. So, like, you don't want to go leave or play for your rivalry team.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. So I guess you do play for the Celtics. We can talk about that. What is it about your team and your teammates that makes you guys just so good?
I think one thing about my team and the teammates, first of all, we have an amazing leaders like Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is only 22 years old, and he got his first actually All-Star this year. But when you play basketball with guys like Kemba, Gordon, Jason, and Jalen. These guys are like very special, unique guys. Those are especially Kemba. He was in my draft class, and one thing about him, I know he was an amazing player, very tough to guard. But like once when I met him, he was like one of the most down to earth and humble guy that I have seen. I mean, that guy was an all-star and did break a lot of records. But like how he plays now is just unbelievable. But one thing about these guys. I play with guys like Russell Westbrook or Damian Lillard. I put Kemba in there too. One thing make him so special is they make themselves better and they make everybody else better around him. That's what makes him really special. So they're just not being a good basketball player. They are amazing leaders. So like, it's cool you score 20-30, but when your teammate is down, when your teammate is having a bad day or a bad game, you want to lift them up. You want to be able to bring him up with you. So like, that's what they do. So that's why I think we are very lucky to have those guys.
Yeah, wow. That's really special when you guys can bond, especially on the court and then off the court. Do you guys spend time together when you're not at practice or competing?
Yeah, we do, actually. I mean, because, like, you still want to build that team chemistry, It doesn't matter how much you see each other on the court, but off the court where, where we can become, good teammates or good friends. So, like, even right now, I'm going to like tell you something that not many people knows, but we still have these the virtual meetings with my team. And we actually, the Celtics invites one of the, motivational speaker and then just give us a talk, huge talk. And then if you have questions, we do Q&A. I think So we are about to get Ted Cruz this week. Last week was David Ortiz and Paul Pierce, one of two Boston legends. Before that, it was Ken Jeong, the Mr. Chavo from Hangover. Before that, it was Mark Wahlberg.
Oh
And
my
like
goodness.
we always have these like celebrities and actors and listen to their life story, listen to their struggle, how they become so successful in their life. So I think, it's just because it's just you miss your brothers, because like when you see them so much, they're not just your teammates, they become your brothers. So like for me, it was just amazing to just even like from FaceTime, to just being able to just call them and talk to them and knowing that they're doing fine, it's just definitely amazing.
Wow, I could totally relate. The only time tennis was really a team for me was when I was in college. I played at the University of Virginia and we had our teammates, and girls are a little bit different, I feel like, than guys, but with girls, it's different. But we made sure we bonded off of the tennis court. It's so important to do activities because the better you can connect with your teammates emotionally, like I feel like the better you guys will play when you need to compete, and the more you can trust each other when the times get tight and tough. Especially but you guys, you play like with a clock, a timer, and you get like 5 seconds left and all the pressure comes down. So to be able to trust each other in that moment, it's key,
For sure.
right?
Yeah, I think, I am thinking like we are going out there and play as a team. I feel like what you're doing is like probably one of the hardest thing. I don't know if I could just go out there, the all the eyes are on me and try to play. Oh my, I will be like, my knees will be shaking. I'll be so nervous to just go out there and just, play an individual sport. So I think I got so much respect for tennis players, so much respect.
Thank you. And I think that's also what makes tennis so hard is there's no substitutes, there's no roster. If you're not 100% healthy, you still have to play. You travel all the way to a random country if you're not gonna just say, oh, I'm not feeling good, I can't play. So, there's no substitutes and you have to do the best you can, even if you're not well mentally, physically. But yeah, it's very rewarding, but also the process is difficult.
I always want to ask for a tennis player. Who's your favorite tennis male and female player that you can love to watch and learn a lot?
Oh, wow. So I have my boring answers, but actually, you know what? No, favorite girl tennis player is myself, of course. No, I'm just kidding. Favorite female tennis player, Serena, and also this girl, Petra Kvitova. She's a lefty. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's just very fierce and plays an aggressive game style, and I like the way she behaves emotionally and plays. And then on the men's side, it keeps changing, but I feel like it's always either Federer or Nadal. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, just well, I'm born in Switzerland, so I gotta go with Federer.
Fed.
But like seeing how Djokovic and this Nadal just play, just so amazing. It's like the top three. It's like you cannot. It's so hard to pick one.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to pick one, definitely be that. But I think your side, obviously Serena Williams. I think what she does on and off the court is so amazing. She's inspired millions of people. But I think I grew up as a Sharapova fan. I don't know why. I
Me
think
too. She
that's it.
inspired me in the beginning.
Yeah, because like I remember just watching her, when I was a kid, and then
Watching her in the
now,
magazines or on the tennis court?
tennis court. No, she's an amazing athlete. But amazing. And I think she retired now, huh?
She retired, correct.
She's all right. Okay.
Yes.
And I think she was married with a basketball player. So like that's what I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to. Oh, yeah, then we have Caroline Wozniacki with David Lee.
Yeah, there you
Also a
go.
former Nick. He's I
Did
think she now retired as well.
you? Yeah.
So, what I find so interesting also, tennis and basketball, you don't have the most like ripped players. Like obviously in other sports, some people are just so jacked, but tennis and basketball, like if you're leaner, like it's good too.
I mean, it's a different kind of shape, especially, I mean, basketball. I don't know how tennis is, but like basketball, you cannot be too big
Yeah.
because like the game is like, it's not like football, you know, football just stops almost every 10 seconds.
Yeah,
But like basketball
exactly.
is like, there's always go, right? Up and down. So like, you wanna be like, be leaner. You don't wanna be too big and just be out of breath. So like, it's all about just work. It's like a very different kind of shape.
So there's rumors that the season might continue at Disney in Orlando, Walt Disney. Is
Yeah,
that what's the deal?
I heard. I mean, there's so many rumors out there. You know, they're talking about the Disney. They're talking about Las Vegas. They're talking about some a couple other places. But like, I think that would be like the one of the best the places that you have to play for. You know, Disney or the Vegas. You know, Florida actually. But there's not many. I think that there's a warm weather. It's a nice place. I mean, you cannot just go out there and hang out because of this craziness, but like
Right.
it's still very nice.
Yeah. So you'd be good with that if, let's say, they did it in Orlando and if the season
I
continued?
mean, I'm itching to go out there and play basketball, so I'll be
Yeah.
good with anything.
Yeah, you'll do whatever. It's actually what they're talking about in tennis, because the US Open is coming up in September or end of August, and they're contemplating whether they should have it without fans. And would you be okay with competing without fans?
I think so. I would, but it would be very weird because like basketball, what basketball fans makes basketball because like
Yeah.
there's playoff games or like game seven, fourth quarter. Like you want to be able to hear the fans. But I think you know what? At this point, I would literally take anything.
Because in tennis, before you serve, they say quiet, please. So like tennis is
There you
used to
go.
like quiet. And of course, when you get tired, the fans are what keeps you going. But I feel like in basketball, it's just nonstop cheering and motivation. It's a team sport, lots of energy. I think it'd be very weird, NBA without fans. But hey, I wouldn't complain to see you out on the court. Forget it, I'll take that. And so May is Mental Health Awareness Month. How important is the mental side of the game?
I think let me tell you something. Especially basketball, I think probably tennis too. It's like 80% of mental and 20% by, you know, physical. It's like, first of all, you always have to be at your best to go out there and play basketball. You always have to keep yourself motivated. Now, because of all the social medias and everything, there's so much distractions out there. So one thing you need to know and you need to learn. You know, I'll give you an example. You're gonna be shocked. This might not be in the league. I'm not going to give any team or any player's name, but like I've seen so many players. So we have in a halftime, we have 15 minutes break. Coach comes in, probably like 6, 7 minutes, and he leaves. And we have 8 minutes to go out there, warm up, and start, you know, start the second half. There's so many players out there that as soon as the coach leaves, they get on their Twitter and check their feed and see, okay, what people said about. I'm like, dude, you're about to play a game in like 5 minutes. What are you doing? Right? But just don't listen to haters. Just haters gonna hate. That's what I always say. Haters gonna
Haters,
hate.
it's
Just
true, right?
don't let nothing distract you because once you get to the top, there's gonna be people out there that are gonna be very jealous. All they do is just sit on their mom's basement and tweet. So don't listen to those haters. Just focus on what you need to focus on because if you bring any of those conversations in a court, it'll be very selfish of you because you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting your team because it's a team sport. It's not an individual sport. But, so like that's why I'm trying to stay positive as much as I can, trying to help the young guys as much as I can because I've lived it, I experienced it, I learned from my mistakes. So I'm like I don't want them to make the same mistakes, you know. And so like I think mental part is definitely way more important than you know the physical part. Because the
Physical.
physical part, if you're hurt, you can take some, you know, maybe like painkillers or you can, you know, do something to just get through your game or match, whatever. But mental part is that what will take you down.
Absolutely. For me, sometimes taking a day off when I'm just burnt out just changes me. So the mental side, when you're feeling fatigued or just you need a break, is so important. I don't know about, I'm sure you guys have betters in basketball, but in tennis, we have terrible betters. First of all, if you're betting on women's tennis, I feel so sorry for you.
because tennis is so unpredictable, and females, oh my gosh, so unpredictable as well. And I mean, I can't tell you how many bad messages I've gotten after losing because someone bet on me to win. And it doesn't just attack me. It attacks my whole family saying, oh, I hope you die of cancer. I hope I'm going to come find you and hurt you. Like, it's scary. Like, it's really, you start to worry. And a lot of girls actually really suffer with this because it affects them mentally. And so, like, being a pro, it's so important to, like, block out the outside noise. It's hard. Yeah. What would you say is one thing that someone watching just you on TV wouldn't understand about the life of a pro basketball player? Because I see, like, a lot of the winning the or the losing, the winning. They don't see the stuff that you have to endure day in and day out.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like they only see, like, the 48-minute part of it when we actually play the games. But there's so much work behind it, so much maybe tears, sweat, blood. Because, like, the practice is usually takes, like, 2-3 hours. Then you got lift, then you need to watch, you know, clips of other teams. Then you need to get treatment. Then you need to do a lot of charity work, community work. So, like, it's like I said again, if you're doing a sport, especially if you're a professional athlete, it becomes your lifestyle. Actually, you literally have almost no personal life because you always dedicate your whole life is dedicated to a basketball or tennis. So, like, and you try to do everything to stay healthy physically and mentally. So, like, I understand some of the people might be, like, really tough on athletes, but, like, think about this, you know, they've literally given up so much. They've given up their family time, they've given up their loved ones' time, they've given up so much time to just go out there and entertain you, because athletes are entertainers.
Yeah.
Right? So just stop the hate and start having fun, because that's when we all gonna be, I guess, happy. It's like, because if you hate and they're in a bad mood, it's just not gonna be any good vibes, you know. It's just like, let's live happy, let's live a happy life together. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And in tennis, I feel like people see the moment when you win the U.S. Open, you drop down to the court with your hands up, and people are cheering for you in Arthur Ashe Stadium. Have you been to Arthur Ashe Stadium, by the way?
I can't remember. Probably, maybe. Probably, yeah. I think so.
Okay, well, we'll have to go. But hopefully you'll be able to watch me. I compare that stadium to Madison Square Garden. When someone's playing a match, it's like just chills. And then when you're competing at MSG, obviously it's the Mecca. I mean, being at a game in person, the emotions and the chills are just so different than watching it on TV, you know?
Well, for sure. Oh my God, especially if you're doing an individual sport, so I cannot even imagine. So
people see those highlights, they don't really realize, you know, we have to train hours and hours a day, you have to be living out of your suitcase. I don't know, before this quarantine, I don't remember the last time I unpacked my suitcase. I have the same suitcase, just changed some things, you know, we have our clothing sponsors, so the clothes stay pretty much the same, just wash it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're on Snapchat or Instagram seeing your friends having fun, and you realize it's a sacrifice. You know, I've missed so many family get-togethers, parties, events, just because of tennis. And I'm sure with you with basketball, it's a huge sacrifice.
I think that's the biggest and most important word, sacrifice. Because if you're an athlete, you have to sacrifice a lot, you know, so...
Well, I wouldn't let you go until talking about TikTok, because you've become a TikTok star. And let's face it, through quarantine, TikTok is a great way to relax and have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to give you a challenge here. You might have already have heard this, but have you heard the one about you can't, I'm going to ask you 3 questions and you can't say no?
Never heard that before, no.
Are you sure? We'll see. Okay, let me know. Let me know if you... But let's see if you can get this challenge. Okay. So you just can't say no. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. Okay, there's there's a black car, a red car, and a blue car. Which car do you pick?
black car.
Okay. And there's a door on the left, in the middle, and the right. Which door do you pick?
Right.
Okay, and again, there's one on the left, the middle, and the right. Which one do you choose?
Right.
Have you played this before?
I have not.
You said no. I mean, you didn't say no, but you kind of said no.
Because you know what? I watched that clip before, so I knew what you were talking about.
Oh, my gosh. See, I knew it. Okay, that's okay. And there's one I'm sure you saw with the water cup, and you have to copy the person, but I'm not going to get a cup of water now.
Okay.
So one of the main reasons we bonded is because I'm Middle Eastern, you're Middle Eastern, and obviously it's Ramadan right now, and so happy Ramadan, and it makes you feel really connected to the world, and obviously there's, how is the situation in Turkey right now with coronavirus, by the way?
It's tough. I mean, obviously, like, every country in the world, Turkey is affected pretty bad, too. But I think, I mean, they're trying to do as much as they can to just stay in their houses and try to stay safe. Mm. You know, one thing about, I'll say, you're not stuck in a house, you're safe at your house. So, like, don't say, oh, I'm so bored, I got this. No, you're literally saving people's life by staying at your house. You literally have one job.
Sit in your house and watch TV.
And don't mess this up.
Literally.
That's it.
People complain so much. I wish I can be home. I wish I could sleep. Here's your chance.
Exactly.
And now people are just complaining. And then when this is over, hopefully, everyone's going to be like, oh, I want to go back.
Yeah, you know what I always say? Like, I want people to understand, you know, now that you feel like you're in jail, right, in a house. But, like, think about when you go to a zoo or whatever. Those animals are behind the bars, like, their whole life. Right?
Oh my gosh.
He understands better of what they go through. So
I've never heard that before. Have you voiced that before? Have you spoken about that?
Yes, I did.
Oh my goodness. That is so true. It's just like an animal in the zoo. So you believe that animals should be let free in the wild?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Because like that's where they belong, and they shouldn't be behind the bars and so people can come and just throw a, you know, nuts at them, whatever. I feel like that they should be definitely just free, because that's what they're born and that's what they meant to be. So, like, if you put in especially wild animals behind the bars, and I'm not even talking about circus. Circus are just, I don't know, if you go into a circus, you're not a good human being, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, just, I just watched the documentary about how they train those animals. It's painful to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of reminds me of that the Netflix show everyone's watching, Tiger King, and these tigers, these live tigers are in these trapped up hundreds, and just it's crazy. Wow, no, that's so true, and I definitely can see the comparison. But Ennis, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And I seriously can't wait when this is all over. We have three things. We're going to play basketball, play tennis, and we're going to go to the Turkish restaurant.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Wait, when are you going to come to New York?
I come to New York every off season. So whenever I come, there, we'll definitely go.
We'll definitely go. Perfect. Anything else? Any advice you want to give to the listeners about this time or being a pro?
I think last thing I would say is I think our world is experiencing this like something like we've never experienced before, right? I feel like we need to get through this together. And so it doesn't matter, you know, what your religion is, what your skin color is, what your, you know, culture is, wherever you're from, what your ethnicity is. I feel like the most important thing in life is leave your difference on the table and try to find what we have in common. And we only have one world to live. And till Elon Musk or someone else found another planet to live, this world is what we have. So we need to make this world better together. So, like, just pray for those people out there who are affected by this virus. And there's so many people out there putting their life on the line, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, so our world can be better and healthier. So like when you meditate before you go to sleep or whatever you believe in, just pray for those people, because I feel like our world, our prayers need the most. They need it the most for sure. But well, thank you for watching. It's definitely an honor to get an interview by a tennis player.
Oh my goodness. You are so good. That was like a perfect speech right there. You're ready to get into, you know, politics, public speaking. Forget it. You're ready. You are ready. And shout out to all the frontline healthcare workers that are, you know, doing everything to battle this pandemic. Shout out to my dad. He's at the hospitals a lot of the days. So he gets a day off today. He's going golfing. I'm very happy for him. How's your golf game?
Terrible. That's terrible. So I know, yeah. I need to get better at something besides the basketball.
Well, sounds like your tennis game will come together soon. I'll give you some practice.
I love it.
There it is. Ennis Cantor says tennis is hard. So for all you tennis players that listen to this podcast, give yourself a pat on the back. You guys are doing a great job. He said he's never been interviewed by a pro tennis player before. So I thought it was really cool to draw similarities and differences between the two sports. Like I mentioned earlier, he played for the Knicks from 2017 to 2019. That's when I really started to follow him and his game. Obviously, you guys know I'm a diehard Knicks fan, always and forever, through thick and thin, blood, sweat, and tears. But we obviously have a lot in common with our Middle Eastern roots. We both love to cook and all that jazz. But it was really nice to hear from him and his quarantine plans, how he's been staying in shape with virtual workouts with the Boston Celtics. We definitely want to get on court. We'll let you guys know how a tennis match goes or a basketball game goes down. The future is unknown whether the basketball season will resume. I sure hope it does, whether it's in Walt Disney or in Vegas or wherever. I'd be so excited with or without fans just to watch Ennis and see him ball out, except when he plays for the Knicks. That's rough. When he plays for the Knicks, I don't know who to root for. Don't tell him I said that. Well, see you guys next time, and be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules L Baba, at JulesElBaba. And if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe so you can get alerts whenever I post a new podcast, and leave a review if you're feeling really nice. But anyways, see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.